Our first reading is Psalm 34, and you will find it on page 561 or thereabouts in the Pew Bibles. Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will be always on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us extol his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes their refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17. It seems to be on page 1032. I'm sorry, I didn't look it up. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, We have seen remarkable things today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much for your ministry of music. I must confess that when I was a younger person, I avoided healing services. I was invincible then. My body worked, nothing ached, and all was in order. And I was too self-centered to consider attending a healing service to bring someone else's needs for prayer. My name is Christina Cheer, and thanks to Cheer Seeds, autocorrect and predictive text now haven't got a problem. It's pronounced cheer, as in hip hip hooray, cheer. It's a polite surname. Actually, in Chinese, it means thank you. And some people say I have an accent. Really? It's Singaporean English educated with a bit of a London slang in it because I worked with the London Authority for many years. I found that if I use the word in it and know what I mean and you're right, that seemed to connect with people. So every now and then, if it slips out, sorry. I'm not in the medical profession. I trained in social work and I took medical social work as my elective. When I graduated, I didn't work in a hospital. I chose to work with detached youth. Youth who were on the fringes of antisocial behavior. It was less money, but more fulfilling. It was a church project. When I felt God's call to enter full-time ministry, my vicar in Singapore, in the cathedral there, encouraged me to train in theology. So I joined the class of 1985 at Trinity College, Bristol, and Anglican Training College. There are about 32 of us, and mostly were ordinands. I wasn't. And one of the young lads, named Mark Brown, was my classmate. And there you see, living proof, mighty oaks from little acorns. Respect. As a social worker, I worked with children with disabilities and their families. The body and mind are intricate networks of muscle and bone and nerves, and we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. But when things go wrong because of genetics or trauma or misuse or just aging, really, we begin to realize that things don't work as they used to. There is pain and discomfort, and life is no longer straightforward. The truth is we all need healing of some sort or another. So this evening, we have set aside time to come before the Lord. So let us come into the Lord's presence and let us pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you will use this time to speak to us from your word. Comfort us if this brings up painful memories. And challenge us so that we may be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. With heads still bowed, ask the Lord to lay upon your heart a person in need of the Lord's healing. Maybe a family member or a friend. Someone who needs healing, be it physical illness, an emotional heartbreak, or psychological trauma, and keep this person prayerfully in mind. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5, page 1032. Did you know that this passage, the healing of the paralytic, is one of eight healing miracles of Jesus that's recorded in all three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Jesus was in his hometown of Capernaum in Galilee. The base of his operations was at Peter's house. And I want to look at the passage from three points of view. A 3D approach, you could say, David. 3D approach. Great minds think alike. David preached this morning and he had 3Ds too. One is from the one with the diagnosis. Two, those who cared enough to do something. And lastly, through the eyes of Jesus, who saw the grand view of this encounter that he had with the paralytic. The first D is diagnosis. The man was referred to as a paralytic, so we knew he was paralyzed. We know nothing more about it, nothing more specific. All we know is that he could not move on his own. He lay on his mat. Today, a person, if he's paralyzed legs only, we call that someone with paraplegia or paralytic, meaning he had no use. They have no use of their legs. Paraplegics can swim, they can play netball, volleyball. Their upper body strength is usually very good. And if you watch the Paralympics, you see that they have amazing things that they can do. They don't really need their legs. And they call themselves superhumans, which I think is a great way of describing them. If, however, you have no use of your arms or your legs, then your diagnosis would be quadriplegia. That means the loss would be sensory and motor. So both sensation and control are lost. We don't know if the man had ever come to terms with this paralysis. Was he an angry man? Was he just resigned to this lot in life? Was he depressed, suicidal? Whatever he was, some men obviously wanted to help. They pitied him, and they did. They came to his rescue. Two well-known quadriplegics I know are Stephen Hawking, of the Theory of Everything fame, and Johnny Erickson Tada. Do you know her? Her name is pronounced as Johnny, as it's spelled as J-O-N-I, because that was given to her by her father. So I'll call her Johnny, like her father wanted it to be. Stephen Hawking had a diagnosis of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS. It had an early onset in his 20s, a slow progressing form of the disease, which gradually paralyzed him over the decades. It affected all his capacity to function, but not his brain. And as you know, he's a genius in his field of science. But Stephen believes that there is no God. When Johnny was 17, she dived headfirst into the shallow part of Chesapeake Bay in Baltimore in the U.S. And it's 50 years now since the accident. She hit her head and severed her spinal cord. She said at that point of impact, she couldn't feel her legs or her arms, and she knew something was wrong, and she was drowning. Her sister found this mass of blonde hair, floating about, and rescued her. She fractured her fourth and fifth cervical and became paralyzed from her shoulders down. And Johnny was a young believer then. I grew up with Johnny. Johnny's faith strengthened my faith, even though we never met. Her songs, her artwork were inspirational. We are now friends on Facebook, and her blogs are still very inspirational and enriching and fulfilling for me. When one receives a diagnosis, the head responds differently from the heart. The head tries to fathom all the medical terms that are thrown at you. A diagnosis spells out the boundaries of the disease, whether it's treatable, life-limiting, life-threatening. The heart, however, hears the end of independence, of suffering, of pain, of loss of control, hopes and dreams dashed. A diagnosis can define your future and your lifestyle. A diagnosis spells the need for a change, be it an operation to get rid of bad stuff, treatment to make things work, or lifetime of medication to keep things working. It's a blow to your confidence, it affects your life opportunities, it can narrow your world. For Stephen, he lives in this amazing state-of-the-art wheelchair. You've seen it. He communicates through it, and he transfers himself with it. And he can never do anything fast anymore. Everything takes more time. For Johnny, it affected her lifestyle. She was full of life at 18. She was horse riding, swimming, loved the great outdoors. She also is in a wheelchair all the time. Johnny went through a few years of deep depression and societal thoughts and questioning her Lord and her faith in him. But instead of losing her faith, it drove her into a deeper walk with the Lord, and it deepened her faith in God's goodness. She got married to Ken Tada, a Japanese guy, when she was 33. Ken became her primary carer. For better, for worse, in sickness and in health, took on a whole new meaning from the very start. And then in 2010, she received another diagnosis. Stage 3, breast cancer. She went through a mastectomy and the whole business of chemotherapy and radiotherapy, of losing her lovely hair and experiencing the debilitating fatigue that you talk about after radiotherapy. Johnny said that she thought the cancer was a ticket to heaven. Being paralyzed was bad enough, and now to have to contend with cancer, the killer disease. Her testimony of her cancer journey is heartwarming, but by 2015, she was given the all clear, so praise the Lord. And Johnny has this verse on her Facebook page, Psalm 13, verse 6. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Isn't that amazing? For he has been good to me. Some diagnoses are very visible, like the paralytic, but some diagnoses could be progressive, invisible at first, but silently the condition worsens, like dementia and Alzheimer's or heart disease, just to name a few. Definitely a lonely place to be in, knowing what lies ahead. The paralytic was stuck on his mat. He couldn't move on his own. These men came to his rescue. Secondly, D is for dare to care. The paralyzed man must have become quite well known, you know, sitting down in the market square. Whose idea was it to go to Jesus? Who thought of this plan to remove the tiles and lower him into the house where Jesus was? Clever plan indeed. These men dared to care. They could have got into a lot of trouble, I should think. They stuck their necks out for this man. They had compassion for him, seeing him like this day in and day out. They heard about Jesus and what he could do. It was worth a try, and they pulled it off. Stephen Hawking's first wife, Jane, loved him enough to marry him, knowing his condition would deteriorate. With children to care for, she then needed help with his personal care, but she dared to care. Jane had a faith in God. She said that at one point, she thought Stephen almost acknowledged a higher being, but not quite. Johnny mentions her friends She said that they didn't just say to her, "Hey, believe this, rejoice in your trial, it will be good for you." No, she says, and I quote, "Instead, they hooked up their spiritual veins to mine, pumping compassion into my wounded soul." Compassion, com, meaning with, and passion, referring to Christ's suffering. She said, "I wasn't their spiritual project. I was their friend." You see, they dared to care. We may be called to care for someone who will need us. Will we dare to care? It will mean our time, our money, perhaps our freedom. Is it a season of life that will come upon us when we see our parents become more frail and more of us end up living on our own? Can we be there for our friends? I'll just read a blog, a mother's blog. Actually, it's called Mrs. Brown's blog. She was writing about her experience of having a son, a young son, with leukemia, and she was interviewed by Radio 4 last week. She said, "I wish friends and family would just do rather than wait to be asked. We have so much to think about, we don't really know what we want. Plus, for us as a family, we don't find asking for help easy, as it makes us feel like we're failing in some way. Simple things like cooking a meal, offering to babysit, hospital visits, listening to us rant, cards through the post, actually getting into contact rather than we are always thinking of you." When our child was diagnosed, my head was spinning with thousands of things that needed to be done. Ask me for a list. And lastly, "I am not going to ask for help. So offer to do something specific on a specific day. Then I can just say yes, please, or no, thanks." Is there someone God is asking you to dare to care for? They will know we are Christians by our love. Do you remember that song? What is our witness for the Lord in these circumstances? Will those looking on attribute our care to the love, to the ones we love, to God? Thirdly, third D is for divine intervention. People who do not know the Lord in the same way look at us and how we handle suffering and crises in our lives. Does knowing God make a difference? A friend once said to me, "But you've got your faith." She recognized that having faith in God somehow makes things different or better. Any show of courage, strength is attributed to your faith in God. How wonderful is that? Jesus, who had the power of the Lord to heal the sick, was not fazed by this interruption. And in verse 20 we read, "When Jesus saw their faith, Jesus looked right into their hearts. And Jesus said to this man, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven.' And then, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' And the man immediately stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. And those who were present were filled with awe and testified, 'We have seen remarkable things.' Not only did Jesus heal the man, he went straight to the heart of the matter, to the man's spiritual need, the need to be right with God. The only way to see God and meet with him is to confess and ask the Lord for forgiveness for our sins. When we invite Jesus into our lives, there is divine intervention. God enters our hearts and our lives. He wants us to become holy like his Son. There's nothing more to say about Dr. Hawking. There's no spiritual dimension, as he cannot conceive of a God in the scheme of things. Johnny, on the other hand, embraced this interference into her life, even though she was not able to ever move independently again. The part of the brain that was not affected was her voice and her artistic ability. She has the most beautiful voice. Do YouTube her and hear her sing. She paints with a paintbrush between her teeth, and these paintings look so professional. She now has a ministry that spans the world through Facebook and her blogs. This side of heaven, we have been promised an abundant life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. So eternal life starts now. Remember the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full Into His Wonderful Face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And from a heavenly perspective, problems will be seen in their proper size, place, proportion, and importance when Jesus takes center stage. For some of us, it's the only way we can survive what we are going through to make sense of the madness that is life. To conclude, I actually have a fourth D, death. When one receives a life-threatening disease diagnosis, it's very likely your mind will think of death. Our bodies, which are fearfully and wonderfully made by our Creator, are subject to the fall, I'm afraid. All things are corrupted and prone to decay. On Ash Wednesday, we were reminded from Genesis 3, verse 19, "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Helping a loved one plan for their own funeral is a very moving privilege. It's time to dare to care, appreciate the tears that fall, help them leave this earth with dignity. If they know the Lord, it's a much deserved homecoming for them to be with the Lord forever. Divine intervention becomes divine presence for all eternity. Billy Graham said, someday you'll read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. And C.S. Lewis said, Christians never say goodbye. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's a win-win situation, a friend once told me, as he lost his fight to cancer. Life and death are a package deal. They cannot be pulled apart, so you cannot truly live unless we are aware of death. You may be dealing with a diagnosis or know someone who is right now dealing with it. Ask the Lord to show you the way forward. So we'll have time to sit before the Lord, asking the Lord to minister to us. It's a personal journey, sickness and ill health. It's often a lonely journey, sickness and ill health. It's often a time, even though we have lots of dare to care friends around you, it's